This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Hugh, can you summarize very briefly how far we got in the shiur till now, and then we can move further? What have we got so far? It's an honest answer. You got me by surprise there. So start off summarizing the Gemara. What's the subject of the sugya?
The sugya that we're now on to.
Yes.
We're talking about Perek Nevela.
What is the question that the Gemara is dealing with, and what is the conclusion that the Gemara gets to? With what question did the sugya start off? How come you're not in it? Are you not in it? What did we say on Pasnabali? What was the question that set the sugya off?
The question on Pasnabali is who is the one that would carry the pas? Who's liable for the Pasnabali? The mazik or the nizak? So we came to the conclusion.
Well, it wasn't the question that set it off.
It wasn't the question.
No? What was the question that set off the sugya?
Was right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Who's fired for the
If a person is allowed to pay with subin, what do we need a special posuk to teach us that habaylim metaplim in avela? That was the kasha at the bottom of Yudam Amud Beis. Answered the Gemara.
So the Gemara says that you learn from Yoshua that a person is able to pay with Surin.
Right.
And from there alone you can see that the Nezak is the one who's metabol ben avayla.
Right, that was the question. So what does the Gemara answer?
So we can learn from Yoshua alone?
No. So what is the Gemara answer? What do we need the posuk of Ames Yeh Lo for?
So that was left open.
So no, it wasn't left open at all.
No, but after we brought the posuk of Yoshev, in the beginning, according to Rav Kahana, it seemed that we would need the posuk of Ames Yeh Lo to teach us that Kiddush.
Right, so what should we do? Right, so what do we need it for now? So what does Ames Yeh Lo come to teach us?
That the
Pchas Nevela is born by the Nezak. Right, now define Pchas Nevela.
Pchas Nevela is the depreciation of the Nevela from Mishas Misa, according to Rashi.
And what is the reason for that? Why is it Mishas Misa?
Because it's in Rishus HaNizah. Because the Nevela belongs to the
Nezek. Okay. If he doesn't even know that the Nezek has taken place and there's a deterioration taking place, why should he be responsible for that?
Because the person is supposed to be in control of their property.
That's how we learn Rashi.
That's Rashi. According to the Rosh, he says it's when it's noted to him, when it right. comes to his attention. Only from then onwards is the Pchas Nevela for the account of Nezak, but until then, it's for the account of the Mazik, according to the Rosh. Until it's noted to the Nezak.
Okay. Then the Gemara went on to say, isn't there a machlokes tanoim about this Pchas Nevela business? And the Gemara concluded what?
The Gemara concluded, no, the Kula Amud the Nisa.
Right. So what is the machlokes about?
So then we thought that maybe the machlokes was in Terech Nevela.
And the Gemara concluded the machlokes was Terech Nevela.
What is the...
So what is our halachic conclusion? Who is the Terech Nevela on?
On the Nisa.
Was that the halachic? Is that how you were passing from the Gemara?
No.
How did the Rosh Paskin?
He said that it's on the Nezak to be Torah for the Nevela, but the Mazik was reimbursing for his expenses.
So when the Gemara says Terach Nevela, what's the conclusion? Who is the Terach Nevela for? That the phrase Terach Nevela, who is responsible for Terach Nevela, whatever it means?
Well, according to the chat of the Pesuk, it appears that it's the Mazik.
That it's the Mazik is Chayav for Terach Nevela. Okay, that's the Braisa we've got. Achirim Oimri, Minayan Shabal Haboy Lahal Shoim Biboyroi, Talmud Loimar Kesev Yoshiv Labailov Vahamis. So that the Bailim has to do it. So why does the Rosh say that the Mazik has to do it?
That the Nizak
has to do it? Why does the Rosh say if the halachic conclusion is that the Terach Nevela, that it's Al Baal HaBoir LaHaloi Shoyroi MiBoiroi, where does the Rosh get it from that it's the Mazik who must do it, that it's the Nizak who must do it?
Because he would be the one, it's in his interest.
Since he's the one who's suffering the loss, he must do it. Right, but he can charge the account of the mazik. That's how the Rosh learns. Do you think Rashi agrees with the Rosh? No, look, you look in the Rashi and work it out. Don't work on memory, just work it out. Where do you see that in the Rashi?
So, and that's going on the mazik.
Right. So you want to say that Rashi holds that the mazik has got to do it?
Yeah.
What will motivate the mazik not to waste time about it? We've got a strange situation now here according to Rashi. That means that every minute that the mazik doesn't do it, the nizak is suffering a loss. The nizak now knows about it. The mazik is the one who's going to do it, not like the Rosh says that the nizak can go and do it himself and charge it to the mazik. The mazik has to do it. What is going to motivate the mazik to do it as quickly as possible?
He's going to be charged anyway, even though the nizak can do it.
That's according to the Rosh. But according to Rashi, he must actually do it. He must physically do it. The nizak doesn't do it. The mazik must do it. The mazik can always claim, I could have done it cheaper and all sorts of things. So he's going to leave it to the mazik to do. What is going to motivate the mazik to do it in the quickest possible time?
And if the value of the animal that he can get, that he has to be rushing from, is from the time he gives it to the actual nizak.
And is it according to Rashi?
Well, Rashi originally said, and that was in the case of the chas. Maybe he's changed his mind over here that it's not from the time of death.
But what the chas novel is for the mazik? Then you would be saying that chas novel is for the mazik.
No. That it was Mishas Misa.
And Elamite will be Mishawin. Mishawin?
Mishas the handing over to the.
So then what is the Pras?
No.
Define Pras Novela again.
No.
But define, according to what you're saying, define Pras Novela. If Rashi would have changed his situation from when?
From the time of death until the time of handing over to the Nizak.
And who's going to be responsible for that deterioration?
Mazik.
So you're going against the Gemara. The Gemara's concluded clearly that the Pras Novela isn't a Nizak. Chat Novel is the Nizak. We concluded that already. We said the Kula Oma. That does not.
But I don't call that Pras.
What do you call Pras?
Okay.
So we've got nothing to motivate the Mazik to get on with the job. That's a difficulty that we have according to Rashi. Isn't it?
And why is it difficult? Because you've got no reason for the Mazik to be motivated. That's the why you have to tend to it.
And if you say. Have you ever employed people that don't have incentive schemes? In other words, most employees. And when you tell them to do something, if you don't say to them, if you finish it before 4:30, you'll get an extra R5. People don't work that way. If there isn't something in it for them, unless he's a tzaddik, he's not going to. Why is he going to go and rush and do it? He's got other things to do today. Got his own business to attend to, where he'll lose money if he doesn't attention to it. Yeah, he can leave it till after hours, he can leave it till the weekend. Must he take his mind off his own business because he's got a carcass to pull out of his pit? It just isn't going to work practically. So not so much that he's a pusher. Not so much. So it's Friday morning. And he's got a difficult Friday and he's got all sorts of onsen and all sorts of things. And then it's Shabbos. And then straight after Shabbos he'll get busy. Not a pusher, but if there was something in it for him, he would have reorganized himself. It's like people who don't come to the shir. They never push him. People don't come to the shir because of, it's always an onus. But if they had thousands of rands to lose if they didn't come to the shir, there wouldn't be so many onsen. People reorganize their onsen also. We have some control even over our emergencies, just depending on what there is to lose. Okay, now we need to go on in the Gemara and then do something interesting. A little bit further in the Gemara. Hugh, since you've started so well, you better carry on. Omale Abayla Rove.
Omale Abayla Rove. I Torah Nevela Hekadami. This case of Torah Nevela, what does it mean?
What is the case?
What is the case? If we say that in the board, the Nevela is worth of one zuz, Vaguda Shavi Argo, and on the side of the pit, it's worth four, Kitoret Banashe Torah, will be missing.
Torah
himself.
No. Ki Torah, by bringing the Nevela out, who benefits? In this case, who benefits in this case?
The Mazik,
because he's going to have four zuz deducted from the price instead of one zuz. So it's not because the Torah Nevela is the Mazik. We don't care. In such a case, we don't care if he brings it out or he doesn't. It's in his own interest to bring it out. So that can't be that we have a posuk to teach us that. Don't forget this Torah Nevela. We learned from Kesef Yoshev, the Bailo of the Hames. Ask the Gemara, you don't need a posuk to tell me that. If the ox is worth four out and one in, of course he's going to bring the ox out. You don't need to learn that from a posuk. That can't mean what the posuk. That can't be what the posuk means.
So Amalei, so Rova answers to Abayan, no Shrecha, we don't need it. The Bebira Shavizuzo, Vaguna Nam Shavizuzo. Because he says that now, on the contrary, when an availer is on the side of the pit, it's worth one. So the Rabira Shavizuzu, when it's in the pit, it's worth one. And when it's outside the pit, it's also worth one. So there isn't a difference between the two.
So parts. Now we have now there's nothing to motivate the magic to bring it out, so we've got to stay, then we need a posuk. Even though it will be worth no more by taking it out, and you will have no greater discount in your payment of damages by bringing it out, nevertheless you're chayav to bring it out. Ask the Gemara.
And have you got another case?
No, is there such a case that the carcass is worth the same in as it is out? What about the labor cost of removing it?
In. So one says yes. The Ha Amri Inshi, because it's a saying.
That people say, Amri Inshi, people say.
That when a beam, says Rashi, Kshura is a beam. Kura. A Kura in a city is worth one zuz. Kshura Badabro Bazuz. And a Kshura, the same object in a forest from where it comes, is also worth a zuz. So you see, there doesn't make enough to mean about transport costs. That it's the same in a city.
That there are situations where the transport cost is irrelevant. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about here, that in such a case where the carcass will have the same value whether it's in the pit or out of the pit, in such a case, the Torah is mechayev the mazik with Torah Nevela. What does that mean? According to the Rosh, that means he's mechayev the mazik with the cost of getting it out, and according to Rashi, it means he's mechayev the mazik with the labor of getting it out. That's the Gemara. Now we're ready to look at an interesting Rosh again, but not a Rosh at the back, a Rosh in the Shittim Kubetzes, which we'll. Clive, are you in the subject at all? Are you familiar with what's going on?
Okay.
No, it depends on certain objects. Certain, it depends on certain markets, certain objects. Yes, but there is such a case. There can be. Sorry?
It's not a general
trend. In the country, you know, right, it's irrelevant on the range. Yeah. Okay, on the right hand column, the paragraph that starts, Hei Chidame, Ilei Medibibira. Hikshor Haram. The Ram asked the following question. Where all these shit is? What happened to the ones I passed down here? No, but what happened to I passed the whole pile down here? They can't just have disappeared into thin air. Where did they stop? Between Henry and Hugh, did they get lost?
No,
did it go across? Did it go across the table then?
I put them in the.
The Ishtalshul is not working so well, huh? Right hand column, the paragraph that begins, Hechidami, Ilem ed Bibira, Hikshu Haram. The Ram asked the following question. We are now searching for a case where we need the Torah to tell us that the Mazik must take the Nevela out. Asks the Ram, Amai loy Mishani, why did the Gemara not answer in the following way? Why did the Gemara not give the following example? Kegoin, for example. Dibishas Misa, Shavya Bevira Dalid. At the time of death it was worth four in the pit and more than four out of the pit. And it is subsequently deteriorated. Until now that they're in Beis Din, that in the pit it's now only worth a zuz. And on the side it's worth four. Now, if the mazik takes it out, how much will he have deducted? Why three? Why not 18? Chai, make it chai. If we're guessing, why three? why should we do the difference between one and four? Rather make it five times four less two. You have chai. What is he going to? If he takes it out, how much is he going to have deducted from the payment? It was worth four originally. In the pit. It was worth, let us say, six out of the pit. It is now worth one in the pit and four out of the pit. The mazik takes it out and delivers it to the nizak. Now, how much is he going to have to pay? The original value was 100. How is he going to have to pay now? So how much is he going to have to pay? He delivers the ox plus how much?
At which point does he take it out?
It was worth 100. It fell into the pit. It was then worth 4. Had he taken it out then, it would have been worth 6. Now it's worth 4. It's worth 1 in the pit, and if he were to take it out, it would be 4. So let's say he takes it out. How much is he going to deduct? 4. He's going to pay 96. And if he leaves it in the pit, how much will he take out? Who does Pras Nevela belong to? The nizak. So how much will he deduct if it's in the pit? It's worth one in the pit, but whose count is Pras Nevela for? The nizak, therefore.
So he's got the one, therefore he needs 99 to bring it up to
him. What does Pras Nevela mean that it's for the nizak? That the nizak makes or loses the Pras Nevela? Loses. So how much is the nizak going to get?
96.
So it's going to make no difference if he takes it out or he doesn't. asks the Ram, why not give that case? We're looking for a case where it makes no difference to him if he takes it out or he doesn't. And the Torah tells us, you've got to take it out in such a case. Right? That's what the Gemara asked. Hey Chidani, what is the case? If there's advantage to him in taking it out, you don't need a posuk to tell you. So we're searching for a case where there's no advantage. So the Gemara finds a weird case where it's worth the same inside as it is outside. That's a very difficult case, and it has to bring the example of the Kura, Bedabra, and so on. Normally that wouldn't be so. Of course it's going to be worth more outside than it's going to be worth inside. So ask the Ram, why go and bring an unusual case of where the veil is worth the same outside as it is inside, when you can bring a case where it's worth more outside than inside? Where it deteriorated in value, and where it was worth 4 and 6, it's now worth 1 and 4. And in such a case, the deduction will be 4, because Pchas Nevel is Lenizak. That's the Ram's question. Why do you all look so dull? It's a very powerful question. V'hashta loy b'denafshe torach. And now he's not, this is, if he were to take it out, that's not for his own interest, that's not expedience. We need a posuk to tell us that, the pchas al anizak, because the nizak suffers the pchas. So if there weren't a posuk, what would the mazik say? You get it out. I have no interest in getting it out. I'm going to go to all the labor of getting it out, and I'll still deduct the same as I deduct now. What's in it for me? That's how he'll operate. So we'll have to answer, there's nothing in it for you. It's a halacha in the Torah, you've got to take it out. It's a chiyuv. It's your obligation to take it out, even though there's nothing in it for you. That's why we need a posuk of the case of Yoshev Labayla Vahames. So you've got a perfect example, says the Ram, which the Gemara doesn't bring, and he leaves it as a kashya. The Rosh, that quoted from the Rosh.
You just leave it and leave it, as you
said. Fine. That's what the Rosh does. So that's the case where, no, we still have that other kashya, we still have. What is going to motivate him to take it out? But we're talking, even according to the Rosh, where we're not talking about him physically taking it out, but the cost of taking it out. Even if the Nizak takes it out, and now comes to the Mazik and says, that was 2 zuz to take it out, can I please have it? The Mazik will say, leave me alone. It's not in my interest that it got taken out. I'm not responsible to take it out. Why should I be charged with it? So the only answer we can give is, it's Halach in the Torah. It's for your account. Whereas otherwise, the Nizak could say, if the Pras Nevela was not the Nizak's, then of course the Nizak could say, it cost you 2 to get it out, and you should be jolly thankful, because you've saved 4 by getting it out, or you've saved 3 by getting it out. But if we're not saving anything by getting it out, how can we charge the Mazik? For that I need a posuk of Yoshev Labayla of the Hames. That's what the Gemara should say. It's very important in learning to learn how to ask not only questions on what is stated, but on questions on what is not stated. Why is it not stated in a more simple way, in a more correct way? That's the Ram's kasha. That's what we have to deal with. You've all got further stats of the Rambam, haven't you? We did the Rambam last week. Did we not do the Rambam? Yeah.
Did
do the
Rambam?
Or did I just say bring Rambams with? To prepare the Rambam. So everybody must have learned the Rambam in between. So what did you use during the week? How did you learn the Rambam? We need to now try and analyze the Rambam. The Rambam says strange things. The last halach in Perek Zayin. Al hamazik litroach b'nevelo. It is the mazik's responsibility to busy himself with the nevelo. Now, those of you who haven't learned the Rambam already, you're going to miss the whole value of the shir. You'll understand the shir because I'm going to explain the Rambam. But the growth that takes place in a shir like this is after you hear me explaining a Rambam that you've battled on already. If you haven't battled on the Rambam, you're not going to grow out of me explaining the Rambam. So it's interesting, you'll hear the Rambam shita too. But that's not how there's any kind of growth. Al hamazik litrach bin avela, ad shemamtzi oyso lenizak. The mazik has to be terach on the veil till what point? How much tircha does he have to go to? What happens if it What did Rashi define as Terach Nevela?
To take it from where it was to where it should be.
Right. To bring it to the point of from the point where it died to the point where it was. Which is where? Next to the pit. That's what he's got to do. That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says he's got to deliver it to the Nizak. Yeah, which fits into the pasuk much more now. Just as he's got to give, he can't leave the money on the side of the pit, so he can't leave the carcass on the side of the pit. Both have to be delivered to the nizak. That's what the pasuk seems to imply, which is nice in the Rambam, but that's not what Rashi says.
Does the Rambam mean that he must physically return it?
That's what he says. Ad shemamtzi an oiso lanizak, until he makes it available to the nizak.
Can it still be in the pit?
No. How can he do that? No, he says Mansi. He doesn't say notice. He doesn't say Moidiyah. Mansi. He's got to bring it. He's got to deliver it to the Nizak. That's the first thing to notice in the Rambam. Ketzad. Kegoin shenofal hashoyu laboyu. For example, an ox fell into a pit, umes, and it died there. Malo anavelo min haboyu. See again, he says that. Not only must he lift it up from the pit, he must lift it up from the pit and deliver it to the Nizak. That's what he's got to do. So the Rambam is emphasizing it. He said it twice now, which is unusual for the Rambam. So there's something very fundamental in that principle that the carcass must be delivered to the Nizak. Ve'acharkach. And after he's delivered it to the Nizak, Shomin lo pchas hanevela. We then evaluate the deterioration. Let's see. Shnei Amar, as it says, Kesef Yoshiv Labailo Bahames Yiye Eloi Melamed, that teaches us Shehu Chayev Lahashiv Es Hanavelo, that he's got to return the Navelo, not just lift it up. The Es HaPchas Shepichaso Min HaChai LaNizak, and the deterioration that has been caused since it was alive. All that must be paid to the Nizak. So is that like Rashi or the Rosh? Mm-hmm. Why? No. No, look what he's saying. It's a pchas shepichaso min hachai lenizak. The amount that the animal has deteriorated since life, plus the carcass. So how much is he going to pay in our example? Where the carcass is worth 2, how much is he going to pay? What is the pchas? This is not pchas nevela, this is the pchas minachai. No, he's delivered the carcass, so the carcass is worth 2, and now he's going to pay 98. And if it's deteriorated, and the carcass was worth 10 at the time that it fell into the pit, and now it's worth 2, what is he going to give the 98 still? So the pchas nevela is the nizak, from the time of Misa. So it seems to be like Rashi, accepting this that he's the chiyuv of delivery. On that is a chidush of the Rambam. That there's a chiyuv to deliver to the nizak, that's a chiddush of the Rambam. Rashi didn't say that. Rashi said you take it out of the pit and you put it on the, and you put it to where it was. You reinstate it to where it was before the time of death, and then you pay the difference in the money. In the Rambam, there are 3 principles. The one is the obligation of delivery. The second is that the pchas is measured from the time of death, like Rashi. And the third is the strange word va'acharkach. And then, once he has delivered it, we evaluate the pchas nevela. Why, once you've delivered it, why can't you do it before? It's still in the pit, so why don't we come to Beis Din and say, right, the animal was worth 100. A carcass of such an animal would be worth 10. It's deteriorated or whatever it is, we can see that it's now worth 2. So Mr. Mazik, you've got to deliver the carcass to the Nizak plus 98 rand. Why don't we say, what does the acharkach mean? Why is it important for us to know that the process of shuma, the process of evaluation, takes place only after the carcass is delivered to the Nizak, not even brought to Beis Din, delivered to the Nizak? What doesn't make any difference when he does it still? The Pchas Nevelism is still the Nizak.
Yeah, but it looks terrible.
Yeah. Looks terrible what?
This animal looks terrible. He's been left with it for 3 weeks. Now looks terrible. They're going to evaluate it. Say it's gonna, the difference is going to be, the Pchas is going to be worse.
It doesn't matter. The Pchas is the Nizak. The Mazik doesn't suffer anything. Doesn't suffer any loss. So it might be a moral obligation that he feels uncomfortable with, but the fact is the Pchas Nevel is the Nizak. He loses nothing by its being further deteriorated. He has got to pay what it was worth. What it was worth at the time of death,
which is 90.
What it was worth at the time of death. I was wrong. What it was worth at the time of death plus the difference. That's it. You've got to pay as a Pchas Shepichaso Min Achai. How much death brought its value down? That's how much you pay, and you give him the carcass. How do they evaluate it? You go to the animal specialists, and you say this was a prize bull worth 100 rand, and in the days of prize bulls were worth 100 rand, and it's now dead. How much is the carcass worth?
But isn't this the confusing part of the process? Because that nobody's evaluating this until after it's been brought back to the Nizak.
But there's no reason to evaluate it. That's what I'm asking. It doesn't have to be evaluated then. It can be evaluated with experts.
At the time of death? That's
why not have evaluation at the time of death?
Having an evaluation at the time of death.
I'm saying it makes no difference when.
At the time that he brings it to the Nizak, and then he knows what it's worth.
No, you can know what it's worth. You don't even have to see it to know what it's worth. Well, it's not really. What does the Mazik lose or gain? It is, but in any case it's going to be like that. We're going to finalize it on the basis of its value when it fell into the pit.
Yes, no, I know the value went, the fact is, like you see, if it's finalized in value terms, and then so the Mazik can then just leave the country. Like this, he can't leave the country at all.
Why not? Why not leave the country now too? Why?
He's going to be at Damod
Abedin. Good, says
at
Damod Abedin.
By the time the fox is going to be out of the pit.
If he wants to skip the country, he should skip before the Hamad Abedin. Mm. What does he have to be there at the Hamad Abedin? These guys that are on bail for fraud, what do you think? They're going to come to court and then they're going to skip the country.
Somebody comes to your corporate at home and then you pay him and he hasn't done a good job and he's already been paid. You can't get him off this too.
Yeah, but the tiat makes no difference. You're either not going to pay at all or you're going to pay, but the amount that you're going to pay, it makes no difference when you do the shuma. What is the practical difference as to the timing of the shuma? And why does he have to deliver the carcass before you do the evaluation? The evaluation is done by experts. It's not done by a visual inspection because a visual inspection is irrelevant. All that he gets paid is the pchas shepichato min hachai. We simply ask in the market, what is a dead one worth? If the live was worth 100, what is the carcass worth? So then you get an idea. You don't have to see the thing. You get experts in. Once you don't have to see it, if the pchas nevela was the mazik's, then you would have to look at the carcass in order to figure out how much it's now worth. But we're not interested in how much it's now worth. All we're interested in how much is the difference between a live ox and a carcass. And that's something that you can do theoretically. You don't have to do it practically. That's our difficulty in the...
The wording of the Rambam is also very strange. It says he's got to give two things. He has to... Lahashiv es hanavela.
Right.
There is something. And something else. What? Hapakas shepichas melachai. What is that? So let's just think. It's the amount...
The amount of money that death detracted from a living ox.
That's what he's going to give. That's ridiculous. Why? He's going to give the actual money. He is giving the pachas to the
pachas, not the pachas nevela, the pachas minachai. It's a different pachas. So it's not pachas minachai. It's a pachas shepichetzo minachai. How much death...
Which is the 90.
Right. Now, the... Levush wants to say, the Levush wants to say in this Rambam that he's the Rambam holds that the Pchas Nevela, like more or less like Stanley wanted to say, that the Pchas Nevela starts after the animal has been uplifted. But that's very difficult for many reasons. The one reason that I pointed out, if it's after it's been uplifted, that the Rambam doesn't say. You would have to say it's on the time of delivery. If it's on the time of delivery, there is no Pchas Nevela then. If it's then the Pchas Nevela would be the Mazik, not the Nizaks. What we have in the Rambam is an interesting halacha. We have a chidush in the Rambam that there is a chiyuv hashova, that there is an obligation to return the ox to the original owner. What happens if he doesn't? If there's such a chiyuv, if he doesn't return it, what then? What are we going to say? No, we can't give him malchus for not doing a mitzvah. Right. Then how much is he going to pay? 100. So already we see what the motivation is. We say to him, my friend, you're chayav 100. We will allow you to use the nevela as part payment. That's the motivation. This is Rabbi Zalman learns this in the Rambam. We used to have him up here. Rabbi Zalman says that this is the motivation for the mazik. That what the Rambam is teaching us is that the carcass is treated just the same as the cash. You've got to, just as you have to deliver. Why, where does the Rambam get this from? He gets it from the posuk, but how is he learning the meaning of the posuk? Why must you deliver the carcass into the hands of the nizak? That's not where it was. It was on the side of the pit. When it was on the side of the pit, I had nothing to do with it. I, Mazik, had nothing to do with it. So I'll put it back on the side of the pit, as Rashi learns. No, says the Rambam, getting it on the side of the pit is not sufficient. You've got to take it to the nizak. It might be 1,000 miles away. Why do I have to take it to the nizak? Because it's part payment. This is part payment. If this is part payment, I've got to deliver it just as I have to deliver the cash, and I can't leave it on the side of the pit. So I have to deliver the carcass as part payment. And that's going to be what will motivate the mazik to get the thing out of the pit. If he doesn't want to get it out, he pays in full, that's all. Now, if that's the case, let's go to the Shita Mekubetz's example again. It was worth 4 in the pit and 6 out of the pit. It's now worth 1 in the pit, 4 out of the pit. If he takes it out of the pit, how much will we deduct? If he now takes it out of the pit, how much will we deduct? Think it carefully. Don't ask yet. Just hang on. Henry, not yet. 4 down to 1 in the pit, 6 to 4 out of the pit. He takes it out now. How much will he get deducted? According to the Rambam, the way we've learnt the Rambam now. Think it through carefully. How much is he going to get deducted if he takes it out of the pit? It was worth 4 in the pit. It was worth 6 out of the pit. It's now worth 1 in the pit and 4 out of the pit. He takes it out of the pit, delivers it to the nizak. Let us say the nizak is standing there to make it easier, right at the pit. Takes it out of the pit, delivers it to the nizak. So what are we saying? Pchas nevela belongs to the nizak. Has it deteriorated meanwhile? Yes, it's now no longer worth 6. For sure, 6 is out. He's not going to get 6 deducted, because pchas nevela is the nizak's. Is he going to get 4 deducted, or is he going to get 1 deducted? What's he going to have deducted? 4. Why?
Outside the pit. Right.
So he's going to have to pay 96. Okay. If he doesn't get it out of the pit. If he doesn't get it out of the pit, how much is he going to pay? He'll have to pay a full 100, because we're not interested in Shumah then. So immediately we see that he has an interest in getting it out of the pit. But isn't that, but then that's no good, isn't it? Because it's bidanafshe katorach. It's that would be bidanafshe katorach, which is why the Gemara doesn't bring that example. What did the Rosh ask? Let's give us the example of where it was worth four and it's now worth, it was worth four in the pit and it's now worth one. It was worth six out of the pit and it's now worth four. If he takes it out of the pit, he'll have four deducted. If he leaves it in the pit, he'll also have four deducted. The way we learned before. Now that we've learned that there's a chiyuv hashova, and that unless he returns it, nothing gets deducted, he lands up paying how much? He lands up paying a full 100. And he's left with the ox at the bottom of the pit, which is now only worth one. What about the pchas nevela? We can take that even a step further, I think. What about the pchas nevela? The pchas nevela, from when will we evaluate the pchas nevela? From shas misa. That's right. So if we're going to evaluate, we are not going to say that it's come down to... If we're going to work, let me just work this out. Okay, just to refine it one step further, why are we not going to deduct six? He takes it out of the pit. Why are we not going to deduct six? Don't forget, it was worth six. Pchas nevela belongs to the nizak. Why are we not going to make him pay 94? So it's now out of the pit. If it would have been out of the pit originally, he would have got a deduction of six. There's been pchas nevela, which should be the nizaks, which means how much should he really pay? 94. Now, let's examine that. According to the Rambam, is he going to pay 94 or is he going to pay 96? That, says Rabbi Zalman, is what the Rambam means, v'acharkach. We only do the shuma once it's delivered. Before it's delivered, there's nothing to talk about. Before it's delivered, you pay 100. Now that it's delivered, now we're willing to what it would be at the top of the pit. Okay, so the question is what it would be at the top of the pit now, what it would be at the top of the pit then. But one thing is for sure, we're not interested in what it is at the bottom of the pit. Let me read to you the words of Rabbi Zalman. Those of you who want to do it inside over the coming week, it's a very it's easy. Having gone through the whole thing, it's not difficult, and it's not terribly long, and you'll find it very rewarding. If we are going to say that the mazik is obligated not only to pay for the upliftment, but to do the upliftment, that's what you're saying is the chiddush in the Rambam. V'hainu de'ikar ha'hashova hu k'shemeshiv ha'nevela l'hanizak. That means that the act of hashova, of returning, is fulfilled only when the nevela is handed over to the nizak. But don't forget, the Rambam says you work out how much it was deteriorated in value at the time of death, not now. Because what he's paying for, after all, is how much death did it in for. That's what I'm paying for. I'm not paying the subsequent damages. That's not my that's not for my account. Pchas nevela is ala nizak. So on the one hand, I have to return the carcass to you, but I'm responsible for what the death caused, not for what was caused subsequent to the death. Umikol makum kol zman shelo yashiv anavela. However, as long as the carcass is not physically returned, ein shomim pchas nevela. We don't begin the process of evaluation. Vimkein, and therefore kishir boim lo shum ahezek. When we do come to evaluate the damage, al kochoch tzorich lo shum. We clearly have to practice the evaluation. How much it would be worth after upliftment. Because before it's uplifted, there is no obligation to do anything. And in that case, there's no place for the Rosh's question. Because it's true that Pchas Nevela is the Nizaks. But it's Pchas Nevela on top of the bor, not below the bor. Even Ezel, the Bissa Zalman, is saying that we're going to deduct 6. Okay, let's go through it again. The Gemara asked, what is the case of needing a posuk to obligate the mazik with the costs of upliftment? Because if it's worth more on the top than it is on the bottom, then it's you don't need a posuk. He's going to do it himself because he's going to get a bigger deduction. Answers the Gemara, it can be that it's worth one in the pit and one on top of the pit. A weird case. Says the Rosh, why look for such a weird case where the value is the same on top as it is on the bottom? We can create a case where the value is different. And we still need a posuk to obligate the mazik, because if there wasn't a posuk, it wouldn't be in his interest to do it. For example, was worth 6, it was worth 100, fell into the pit, was worth now 4. Had he lifted it up at that time, it would have been worth 6. He left it for a few days, it's now worth 1. If he would lift it, it would be worth 4. Okay, that example. In such a case as the Rosh, in the pit it is deteriorated from 4 to 1. So if he would not uplift it, if he would say, look, just deduct whatever you have to deduct and leave it where it is, we would deduct how much? 4. Because Pchas Nevela is the Nizaks. The fact that it's only worth 1, that's Pchas Nevela. That's what the Rosh asks. And if he would uplift it, how much would he get deducted? Still only 4. He would still only get deducted 4. Because that's what it was worth at Bishas Misa, in the pit. It was worth 4. And the cost of uplifting it is the maziks. Therefore, he benefits nothing from uplifting it in this case. Either case, he's going to have to pay 96. There we need a posuk to tell us, the case of Yoshiv, Labailo v'Hames, he's got to get, it's his job to get the carcass out, even though it's not in his financial interest. It makes no difference to him financially. That's the Rosh's kasha. Answers Rabbi Zalman, with the way we've understood the Rambam, the Rosh's kasha is not a kasha. Because the chiddush in the Rambam, what the Rambam has introduced that we didn't have before is, number one, that there is not only an obligation on the mazik for the cost of upliftment, but for the act of upliftment. For he has not fulfilled his obligation until he's delivered the carcass to the nizak. And that delivery to the nizak is because the carcass is part payment. If he doesn't deliver the carcass, he pays in full. Now, analyzes Rabbi Zalman in the Rosh's case. If the carcass was worth 4 in the pit, it's now worth 1 in the pit, was worth 6 on the top, was worth 4 on the top. Pchas Nevela is the Nizaks. That means he's going to have to pay 100 minus what the carcass was worth at the time of death. According to the Rosh, what was the carcass worth at the time of death? 4. According to the Rambam, what was the carcass worth at the time of death? 6. Because the Rambam said he had to uplift it, not just pay for the upliftment. He had to physically uplift it. And the Rambam says we don't start the Shuma until it's uplifted. So the fact is that there we're talking, there's no deterioration. There's just a question of where the carcass is. So since the Shuma does not start until it's uplifted, the timing is the same. Let's say it's at exactly the same time. But right, so it's going to be worth 6 instead of 4, not because of any question of deterioration. It's worth 6 instead of 4 because it's where it needs to be. It's being delivered to the Nizak. And if he waits a while, and now it's gone down to 1 in the pit and 4 outside the pit, how much are we going to deduct from the Mazik in this case? So if he would have done it at the time, it would have been 6. Now what are we going to do? Now we're going to say that the whole process of Shuma cannot take place until it's out. It's true there's been a pchas. It's true there's been a pchas. And the pchas is the nizaks. But the Shuma can only take place once you've delivered it. In other words, up until now you would have been had to pay 100. Now that you've delivered it, we can start and we can look and see what the damage was, what the nezek was. So we're going to pay 4. We're going to deduct 4. But we're going to deduct 4 for what reason? Why 4 instead of 6? Because 4 was the value at the time of death. Where was it at the time of death? Was the bottom of the pit. But it's no longer at the bottom of the pit. So we can start Shuma. Do you follow? If it was at the bottom of the pit, again, at the time of the Nezek, let's say immediately it fell into the pit, he would have come along and said, right, I want to settle up. What do I need to do? How much do I have to pay? We would have said, right, the animal was worth 100, so you really have to pay 100. He would have said, but here, I'm delivering the animal. We would look at the animal, it's now worth 6. So he would pay, out of the pit, if he's brought it out. He's brought it out, he says, here's the animal, I'm ready to deliver it. We would say, you pay 94. If it was in the pit, what would we say? You pay 100. Now, a few days later, he comes. And the animal's out of the pit. It's now worth 4. Had it been in the pit, we would have said, you pay 100. It's now worth 4. Now we say, okay, so you've delivered it. Now we've got to evaluate how much death did it in for. What is the answer? How much did death do it in for? 4 or 6? 4. Because that's what it was worth at the moment of Misa. So we've separated the delivery and the value. We've said, let's look at two things. How much was it worth at the time of death? 4. Have you delivered it? Yes. Okay, deduct the 4. So in this case, he lands up paying... He lands up paying 2 more than he would have, according to the Rambam. So is it in his interest to do it? Do we need a posuk? We don't need a posuk. That's how he answers the Rosh's question. That the Rosh's case, he says, the Gemara must be learning that way, because that the Rosh remains of the question. The Rosh doesn't answer. The Rosh wants to know, why can't we use this example? Explains Rabbi Zalman, if you use the Rambam's principle of the Chiyuv Hashova, the example doesn't work. There's still an incentive to him, we wouldn't need a posuk. And that's why the Rambam learns this way. That's where the Rambam gets it from, that this is the way the Gemara learns. But if you're going to learn the Rosh's way, what does the Rosh say? There's no Chiyuv Hashova. All we're interested in is who has to pay for upliftment. But the fact is, when it comes to the Shuma, it's just a question of who pays. But at what point do you pay? It's in the pit. So you evaluate what it was worth in the pit, and you evaluate what it is worth in the pit. The pchas nevela is the nizak, so it was worth 4 in the pit, it's now worth 1 in the pit. We will still deduct 4, because pchas nevela is the nizak. True, the mazik has to pay for getting it out, but he has to pay for getting it out in any case. Do I need a posuk in such a case to tell me that he must get it out? Yes, because he has no other incentive to get it out. His 4 is being deducted in any case. So we have a machloikis between the Rosh and the Rambam. According to the Rosh, the moment that we're interested in is simply the moment that the animal is lying in the pit. And then there's a pure financial consideration for getting the animal out of the pit. But there's no other, that plays no other part except an arithmetic part. The getting the animal out of the pit. It's the Nizak who must get the animal out of the pit. All we're interested in is how much was the animal worth at the time that it fell into the pit. That gets paid. The Nizak goes and fetches his own carcass. However, he may charge the Mazik with the cost of fetching his carcass. That's the Rosh. And based on the Rosh, the Ram's kasha is a strong kasha. The example which the Ram creates would be a good example which the Gemara seems to ignore. According to the Rambam, there's a different principle. The principle is, it's not that the Mazik is merely arithmetically responsible for the cost of raising the ox out. The Mazik is responsible for the full 100. However, we have made a concession in order to motivate him to get the animal out. We've given him a concession. The concession is if you deliver the carcass, you can use that as part payment. That's the concession. We know that already from Yashiv. But there's a further concession. Pchas Nevelel and Izak. We're not even going to look at the carcass as it's valued now. We're going to look at the carcass as it was valued. That's not with any other metaltalin. If I want to use metaltalin as part payment, it's the present market value. I can't come and bring you pieces of my dining room suite, a leg of a table and a bit of a chair, and say, look, this used to be worth a lot of money once. This was 20,000 rand once. You say, but it's not 20,000 rand now. But Pchas Nevelel is Lenizak. That doesn't work. It's only the Gzeres HaKosuv HaMesi Yeloi. Only in this case is the Mazik entitled to say, although I'm delivering something which is not worth what it used to be worth, we are going to calculate my discount based on what it used to be worth, not on what it is. That's Pchas Nevelel and Izak. And that's his incentive. So we're saying, you owe 100, and the Nevelel is yours. However, you can pay with the Nevelel, and the deterioration which has taken place subsequently is the Nizaks. Now hurry up and get that Nevelel out. Otherwise we're going to charge you in full. Only the Rambam. Only the Rambam. So this is the Chiyuv HaShova. He has to bring the Nevelel. In order to get his discount, he's got to deliver the Nevelel. Yes. Once is yes, of course. At that point. Whether he has to bring the Nevelel or not. According to Rosh, he doesn't. He says, your Nevelel is in my pit. Go and get it and send me the bill. That's what he said. According to the Rambam, he doesn't say your Nevelel is in the pit. The Nizak says, excuse me, 100 rand please. You want the discount for the Nevelel, bring it. Right here now. And if he wants it, he's going to go. What's going to motivate him to bring it? Because the Nevelel is worth less than 10. The Nevelel is only worth 2 now. There's been pass. And if he hurries up and he gets it out of the pit and he delivers it, he can still deduct 10. So it's in the Mazik's interest now to get the Nevelel out. By so doing, in the Rosh's case, our calculation is completely different. Now he comes along in the Rosh's case, in the Ram's case of the Shittim Ukubetzit, he comes around, he delivers the Nevelel. How much are we going to deduct? 4. In this case, we're going to deduct 4. Why are we going to deduct 4? Because that's what Pichaso Min HaChai, that's what the loss that was caused at the moment of death was a loss of 4. And the animal has been delivered. So we are willing to grant the Mazik that value, the 4. However, if he would have left it in the pit, he would have had to pay the full 100. And what would he have been left with? What would have been the object that he would have been left with would have been worth only 1. So he would have landed up paying 99. Had he brought it immediately, had he brought it to us right at the very beginning, how much would he have gotten off for it? Then he would have paid also 96, right. That's the way the Pchas Nevelel works. We will begin the process of Shumo when the animal is delivered. But how will we measure as to what it was worth at the time of Misa? That's the way it will work. That's the way it's going to operate. And that way the Rosh Hashkasha doesn't exist. So what I suggest that you do now during the coming week why? No, but we'll still spend a bit of time on this. We'll still spend a little bit of time on this. So what I suggest that you do is to get this clear, and this is where the growth will come. Don't just leave it and start getting onto the next sugya. Get this clear. And the only way to get it clear is to learn the Rosh inside again, our Rosh in the Gemara, to get the Rosh Hashita very clear. To then learn the Rambam and see the Rambam inside over and over again. Learn the Rambam. When you've done that, learn the Shita Mukubetzis. Get the kasha clear and go through the example. And if you need to talk to the others, to Jeff or David or Des, they've gone through this, they understand it. Get the kasha of the Rambam, get the kasha of the Shita Mukubetzis clear. The case that is constructed to create a situation where it is irrelevant to the Mazik whether he gets it out of the pit or he doesn't. That's the Shita Mukubetzis kasha, which he leaves as a question. And then those of you who can, I suggest that you do the Evan Oizel inside. Again, they've got photostats of it. It's just an opportunity to see an Acharon work through the Rambam, and you'll see what attention he gives to the Rambam until he works out the Chiddush of the Rambam. The Chiddush of the Rambam being the Chiyuv HaShova, that there's an obligation to deliver the carcass, and that only after delivery are we prepared to commence the process of Shuma. Only then are we prepared to start looking at Shuma, at the evaluation. How are we going to evaluate it? Bishas Misa. Having done that, you'll see how, go back to the Rosh's case then, and using the Rambam's principles and applying that to the Rosh's case, you'll see that there is benefit, even in the Rosh's case, that it is expedient for the Mazik to get the animal out. Try again and learn the Rosh's case the Rosh's way, and you'll see back that it isn't expedient. In other words, the Rosh's case highlights a practical example where there's going to be a difference between the Rambam and the Rosh. And then you'll understand the need for the Rambam, and there you'll see the brilliance of the Rambam. How the Rambam, in order to avoid the Rosh's unanswerable question, extracts these three principles. The Chiyuv HaShova, the fact that it has to be delivered, and the fact that Shuma only begins after delivery. Then you'll see the brilliance of how the Rambam learns a piece of Gemara.
Is the Rambam actually combining the Rosh and
No. It's different to the Rosh. The Rambam Shita is different to the Rosh.
If you go through, according to our understanding of the Rishizal, if you go through the Rosh, then it should come out that there's still a monetary incentive.
Yes. According to the Rosh, there is a monetary incentive. That's why the Rosh doesn't answer his question. That's why the Rosh's question is unanswerable. Because the way he learns, there is nothing to answer. The way the Rambam learns, the question isn't a question. And that, you need to go through that. Please, gentlemen, this is where the learning becomes vital. You can take one of two approaches. You can say, it's too difficult for me and I don't understand it. Let me get busy with the next sugya. And you're going to do exactly the same in the next sugya. You'll follow it a little bit, and as soon as it gets down to a real careful analysis, you'll say, it's too difficult, let me get on to the next sugya, and there will be absolutely no growth. Or you can break your head over this, and you'll break your head over this sugya, and you'll break your head over the next sugya, and the third and the fourth sugya, and before you know what's happening, you'll be understanding the Gemara on a completely different level. The moment you've cracked it, but I'm telling you now, it's going to need a few hours to crack. I might be away for at least one of the two shiurim this week, so I don't think there's going to be as much pressure in terms of moving ahead is concerned. Use the time to get fully on top of this. Use the other guys. Thrash it out with one another. Learn Bechavrusa. Fight it out. See the Rambam inside. Understand it. Just stretch yourselves a little. This shiur has become so slappy, if there's such a word. If there isn't such a word, there should be one now. And the definition is the way this shiur has been learning Gemara for the last couple of weeks. It just isn't... that's not the way to expand yourselves. Your mind has got to be such that at night when you go to sleep, you're working this over. You're trying to work out the differences and to see it functioning and to going through it. And you've got to do it over and over and over again until it's clear. Don't think that because after you've done it three or four times, you still haven't got it clear. Don't think there's something wrong with you. It's going to be like that. And if you have it clear after going through it once or twice, I have news for you. You haven't got it clear. It's not going to be that way. To get the sugya and to understand it is not difficult, but it just needs you to apply your mind to it over and over and over and over again until you feel you can explain it to somebody else. When you can explain it to somebody else, then you understand it clearly. And you must do that, otherwise this is you're just not going to enjoy this type of shiur. That's as far as we're going to take the sugya. I'll sum it up again before we go further. And in the next sugya, we're going to take it to a similar kind of level. That's why I'm warning you, don't think that just by dropping out at this point, you'll be okay for the next sugya. You're going to hit the same problem with the next sugya. And the enjoyment of the Gemara comes at this level, if you're prepared to apply yourself to the analysis of the sugya properly.
If it doesn't matter, when the mazik hands over, the minute...